You're now listening to The Brian Callen Show with your host, Brian Callen.
I've done 9 pilots for networks.
Yeah.
I really have.
And it doesn't
HBO,
matter.
Everything. And I like nothing.
It doesn't matter. So I thought, you know, I did a ride along and I was #1 movie and all. And like, dude, no. No, but it's funny. They're like, dude, are you getting offers now? What? What do you mean offers?
No, I stand in line like everyone else.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about it's the business is so nonlinear, and I get such a kick out of.
I only make like $25,000 a weekend too when I go on the road, and that's like fucked up because
Bobby, that like seems like a lot of money.
It's not, you know,
but Bobby,
with taxes
like,
and stuff.
That's still $15,000, Bobby.
With taxes and stuff, and I have like a very. I buy jeans. These are like
those look really expensive.
These are $400 jeans.
Those look. They look like they're made of feathers.
They're made out of human feathers. Yes,
that's so expensive.
There's an island where there's human beings with feathers.
I know.
They fly.
Yeah, they're called angels.
Yeah.
You kill angels.
Yeah, I do. I kill angels.
You trap them in nets and shave their wings
when
off.
When do we start, though?
We're starting now.
Is there an intro or something?
This is Brian Callen. This is Brian Callen Show. And my guest is Bobby the Kid Lee. They call me the kid.
They call me the kid, too, sometimes.
No.
Yeah. Oh. They do.
All right, this was a good podcast. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
Now, you have a mustache.
Yes. The reason why, though, is because because it's a stereotypical thing where people go like, hey, how old are you, 16? Like, you know, like I'll go to like get cigarettes, you know, and they'll go ID and I'll go, well, I'm fucking 93 years old.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Which I am. And I was in the original Karate Kid movies. I don't know if you remember.
Know
but
that.
Yes.
I didn't.
Wax
you're
on.
Very flexible.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I played that janitor, remember, with the bonsai stuff.
Yeah, I told you in my text I'd like to slap you with a flat hand about the face and torso just as part
That's
of my
amazing.
Part of my podcast.
Please don't.
What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid of a lot of things. Here's the things
do
I
you
want
find yourself waking up like afraid?
I'm afraid we're going to make it in show business.
Oh my God, well, you know.
That's my biggest fear.
But you already kind of have made it.
No, I haven't. You know what making it is?
Yeah.
Not what I'm doing now. Making it is what I'm doing now is not making it.
What is making it?
Making it to me is like, okay, I can just lay down and go, oh, I don't have to work for 10 years. I will work and I want to work.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like I still have to, you know what I mean, work.
Well, but what do you mean by work?
Well, like, you know, I have to
get on a plane. You have to work.
I have to get on a plane.
Yeah. Right? Fly coach.
I have to go. I have to have a club owner go, you know, numbers aren't that great.
Yeah.
So you're going to really have to, like, sell it during press. And then you show up to a club for the first time, and there's, like, 150 people there.
Now you
want to
die.
Comped.
Part of you wants to die.
Die. It's like a spiritual rape.
Yeah, it is.
It's like the Lord Jesus
raping
me.
I take it very personally when there aren't a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
In the seats on a Thursday and then on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And like Friday and Saturday usually, you know.
It's okay.
But man, I'm like, I can't believe this is where I am in my life.
No,
but
I
that's kind of how I think every when you're a road musician, a road magician, a road comic, road whatever.
Yeah,
I just think I like Dove asked me the other day. He goes, "You know how lucky we are." I said, "Why?" He goes, "Well, we sell tickets. You know how many great musicians are playing for 8 people in a coffee shop?" He's right.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
it doesn't help us though.
But you show up right, and they go, "Well, Tito Venezuela was here last week, and you've never heard of, and he sold out every show."
Yeah, I know.
Like, who the hell is Tito Venezuela?
Well, dude,
and you Google it, right?
Yeah,
and it's some Mexican.
Well, but are you saying they shouldn't be allowed?
No,
in the
I'm kidding.
Business?
I'm there's no Tito Venezuela. I just made it up.
I have all his albums.
I know,
actually,
me too.
I have to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I'm saying
his
is
his best
that
album is Los Pantalones.
Los Pantalones.
It's like grace.
But there are road acts that make literally $10 million a year that you've never heard of.
Oh, I know. Hamburger.
All those guys. They make a fortune.
There's a guy named Shucky Ducky. You heard of Shucky Ducky?
I've not even heard of him. I have a timeshare.
No, there's a guy named Shucky Ducky. Did you know that?
No, but I'm depressed now.
Yeah, there's a black guy
and he's
named
making
Shucky
more
Ducky.
Money than me.
He sells out. And the thing is this. His whole hook line is, in between every joke, he goes, Shucky Ducky, quack, quack. And the audience says it while he's saying it.
And they
all go, Shucky Ducky, quack, quack. And they all laugh.
What?
And I want to stick a fucking shuck into my mouth.
Well, I'm going to do that now, just off the story.
Yeah, Shucky Ducky, quack, quack.
You should do that.
It's great, isn't it?
And now, Bobby, Shucky Ducky, quack, quack, Lee.
There's another guy named Chinaman. Did you know that?
Jesus Christ. No.
In Texas, there's a guy named, his real name is Mark Burton. He's half Asian.
You
and
know,
he goes up as Chinaman.
Well, there's a comic named Brian Callen, for real.
Yeah.
And he's actually not bad. He's pretty funny.
He's okay.
Yeah?
He's all right.
I saw a little thing of him.
Yeah,
that's like,
all right. I saw him on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look kind of physical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who are your favorite comics?
Oh, no, don't do that.
Besides me.
Let's just start from the beginning. How we met, whatever. You know, can we just start from the beginning?
What else are you afraid of?
Well, I'm afraid of dying alone.
You are?
Yeah, I got a girlfriend now, and it's like, she's wonderful, you know? She really is. You know, she's got a vagina and everything, man.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it works, even. It does work.
It does?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know how, like, it's dry and then not? It does the not thing.
And you throw it in there.
Well, I don't throw it in. I slide it in.
You slide it in.
Yeah, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, ninja style. Yeah. Sneaky.
Oh, sneaky.
When she's asleep.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, she's knocked out.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
You know.
Is that the noise you make? Oh.
No, no. But it's like, I don't want to die alone. I want to have a family. Like, you have kids, right?
Yeah.
How many?
Two.
Yeah, I don't have none.
Well, it's, I don't have any. But here's the thing. no, but that's always hard, though. Don't you feel alone anyway as a comic? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I'm asking you because you have a wife and...
Yeah.
No, you don't want to talk about that?
No, I don't want to talk about it.
You have a wife and two children.
Yeah.
I've been to your house.
Yeah.
And do you still feel lonely?
Insofar as I think it's when you live with somebody doesn't mean that they necessarily understand you. And I don't know that anybody who's not a comic can really... and I don't mean to be like, well, you know, I'm so difficult to understand. I just mean that I think what drives a comic and what makes us do what we do is probably not as conventional as what drives people to do other things, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of what maybe drives us isn't so pretty. I'm not very proud of myself in general, honestly.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that's a bad thing for a comic.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
For the record, though, can I just say something?
Yeah.
That you're probably one of the most beloved guys in the business, really. Mm. Like, there's no one, I've never heard a guy say, that guy, Brian Colan.
Well, it's Callan.
Whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Damn it, yeah, Bobby.
Brian Colan.
Don't say that.
I'm sorry. And I've never heard somebody say that Brian Callan.
It's Callan, man.
Callan is a bad dude. You know, and they always say that. Who? That's sometimes nice they say that.
No.
It is.
I don't like this story so far.
And the second thing they say is, that guy.
No,
and
see,
we love him.
You started by giving me a comment, and then you turned it on.
No, but in real life, though, it's like people go, people love you. It's such, I go on the road, and if I found out that you were there before or you're coming up, and I always go, oh, he's great.
But they say the same thing about you, don't you think?
Well, I'm a dreamweaver, and everyone knows that.
I'm
very likable.
I didn't know that.
Focus groups. You should see my test results, man.
I want to.
Yeah, I get animal test results.
You have a permanent drip.
What does that mean?
Your dick.
Oh, leaks.
Just total pause as you pull it out. Oh, no. No, thank you for that.
I'm saying is that...
That just comes from knowing I'm not better than anybody else, honestly.
You know your character defects. That's what you're saying.
I guess so. Yeah.
And but you know your flaws as a human.
Yeah.
Who said that? It was Socrates or somebody like that.
Know thyself, yes.
No, that's not what they said.
That's Shakespeare. But Socrates said...
I'm not done.
No.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
A life not self-examined isn't a life not worth living.
I can't believe you just quoted Socrates.
It's either him or somebody else.
Socrates.
Yeah, let's just say Socrates. And the thing is that... I could be wrong, but... I know my flaws. I know, but I know my good traits too. And I know that I'm striving to be better. I really am. I want to be a better human being.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, this business has.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question on that to interrupt you.
Well, you did, but.
No, because before you go on, you say that. Do you think that's a process of attrition or a process of deletion? Like, in other words, is deletion a word? Or, I mean, in other words, do you think that when you say that in your mind to be a better person, do you think you have to add something to yourself, or do you have to just maybe take some things away?
I don't know what you mean, but I don't even understand what you just said at all.
So if you
I
say,
don't know what attrition means. I don't know what deletion means.
Well,
I don't know what it means.
Well, that's because I'm highly educated.
I know, but the thing is that can you just, in layman's terms, please?
Yeah, so if you say, I want to be a better person, which we all do, right?
Well, not everyone.
Well, but I think, you know, I feel the same way. So then I always say to myself, well, what do I have to kind of add to my personality, or start doing? And sometimes it's a process of what you have to start not doing.
Yeah. Well, it's a choice, right? You have to make certain choices to grow.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like there are certain things that I do that are obvious character defects, and I try not to. Like, for instance, when my ego gets slashed, like if I'm at a – like one time I was in Parlor, the Parlor Live in Bellevue, Washington, right? I had done a show on a Thursday. And then Friday, first show I did. And I sold out every show. This is one of the only markets where I just can go in and just sell out. Mm-hmm. And after the first show Friday, I went to my hotel room. I took a nap between shows. When I came back to the club, the American Indian doorman, as I walked in the club, he grabbed my arm. He goes, hey, buddy, we're sold out. Mm. And I go, and I, like, now my name's on the billboard. There's like headshots and like flat screen TVs with my reel. I mean, it's like, you know, yeah. I mean, I'm the reason why people
yeah.
are there.
Yeah.
You know, he grabs my arm and I don't, a normal person would say, hey, I'm the headliner. That's not what I do. I continue to walk in because I want to see what he does physically to me.
Yeah.
Right. So as I walk in the club, he starts like, he walks in front of me and he walks backwards while I'm walking forwards going, whoa, buddy, you fucking deaf? Huh? You fucking deaf? We're sold out. And I go, you know what? I'm leaving. Good. That's what he says. Good. I leave the club, right? You know, and it's like an indoor mall kind of,
oh,
right?
I've been there many times.
Yeah, so I'm on the other side of the thing, not going down the escalators or whatever. And I yell as loud as I can, tell Ruben there's no show. And he goes, what do you mean? I go, I'm the headliner, right? And then he starts screaming at me. He goes, why didn't you fucking tell me? And I go, look around. My name, you know what I mean? I snap.
You freak.
I freak out.
Yeah.
Right? So then I go and do my show, kill. And then and as I leave, the mall security, Ruben, some other dudes in suits are in the green room. They're basically on their hands and knees apologizing. And they go, we fired him. Right? And I go, well, no, don't fire him.
Yeah, now you feel bad.
Now I feel bad. So I got him his job back.
Good man.
Right, for the next night. Right? And but that whole situation could have been just resolved with a simple, I'm the headliner.
That's right.
But I went through that whole thing
yeah.
just to prove a point and just to get into that situation,
yeah.
to show I'm the man and don't fuck with me.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't want to be that guy. I've done so many things like that, dude. It's like I've done things way worse than that.
Well, you're such a good guy, but I know what you mean. That's probably just you, the wounded dude who had to eat shit when you were younger at one point in your life.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I was always fat, little, unfuckable,
yeah.
literally unfuckable,
yeah.
right? No friends through my whole life.
Oh, you didn't have friends?
I had a couple, you know what I mean? But it's like, you know, I was a drug addict.
Oh, okay.
You know, I got sober when I was 17.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So it's like I did meth and acid and all that kind of shit in high school and stuff.
And you came from a traditional Korean family or?
Gook. I like to say gook.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you. That would be, thank you.
You said gook family? No, nah. Yeah, they're Korean, yeah.
Can you just make me do it? Otherwise you leave. I'm leaving. Yeah, but what we did, were they strict? I mean, Koreans tend to be very, very sort of a martial, tough people. They're,
my father was maniacal.
They're no joke. Koreans are
no
joke.
No, my dad was not
joke.
No joke. He, yeah. I was petrified.
Disciplined
him.
And tough.
Yeah, I remember one time I was like 9 and my brother was like 6 and we shared a room, my brother and I. We lived in Minnesota, Edina. And
I'm going to Minnesota this weekend.
Oh, that's fantastic. We're at Rick's room?
Yeah, and you'll tweet for me, won't you?
I will tweet it, my
good,
friend.
Good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if this is
do you do his Edmonton room too? I love that room.
I love Rick Bronson,
I love
actually. You know Rick Bronson's a really funny comic?
Yeah, I know. He opens for me.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he MCs for me.
Wow.
I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And I love his kids. His kids are the best.
I never met him, but I like Rick.
Anyway,
Rick
well,
is one of the good guys.
Well, you know,
I love that guy.
I'm closer then.
Well,
I have
you
to
know
be closer because I know the kids and stuff.
All right, man. You know, I can get to know his kids too.
When I was in Phoenix, he wasn't even, like, he doesn't have a club there yet. And his family, we went to dinner. But that's okay. It's fine.
Does he have a club? He doesn't have a, he's thinking about.
He's thinking of Stockton.
Yeah, yeah. That's a lot of competition.
Not Stockton. Was it Scottsdale?
Yeah, it's a lot of competition.
What was all I right. even talking about, though? I was had
no,
a point
about,
that I was going to make.
Just about having a very strict father. And
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I was 7. I was 9. My brother was, like, 6. And at 3 in the morning, my mom runs into my room. And I just remember distinctly, like she opens her mouth and her teeth are knocked out. Yeah. And
no.
my dad had punched him out. Yeah. And he was drunk. He was
no.
drunk. Yeah.
Oh, your dad was an alcoholic.
Oh, yeah. And I remember us trying to barricade, you know what I mean? The door, like freaking out. And that was like a constant event. You know what I mean? And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So instead of like, you know, becoming a bad person, I used comedy or humor as a defense mechanism.
Thank God. I didn't know. That's a very scary, traumatizing childhood.
Yeah.
Do you
I
talk,
had a lot of that.
Do you talk to your dad?
I love him.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, because it's like, then when I was in my early 20s and I said I wanted to do stand-up, they basically said, my dad said, but don't call here anymore.
Wow.
You're not my son anymore. I go, why? All your cousins, they go to college. They all, you know, Ivy League, you know. And you want to tell a joke? What you're not my son, right? So then check it out. than I did in 1999, 2000.
That's a good Irish brogue.
Thank you so much. Because he's from like Dublin.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Dublin Gookville.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. In that side.
Great area.
The east side.
The best part. Rough part.
Rough part.
But also Ivy League. A lot of Ivy League.
Yeah.
Keep going.
So then I did the Tonight Show, Leno, in 99, 2000, like right when I got Mad TV. And he saw it with my mom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then the next day he called crying.
Wow.
He goes, I am so sorry that I did not support you. You're so talented. And you so work so hard. And I go, thanks, Dad. And he goes, do you have money? I go, money? I need the money.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. As a joke. I think he said it as a
joke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But so
what does your father do?
Well, he owned a chain of clothing stores called Fashion Gal. And they were like Lane Bryant's for fat ethnic people.
Really?
Yeah. And it was like Samoans and stuff. And my uncle and my dad owned like 75 stores at one point.
Damn.
They were killing it in the 80s.
So they had money.
Yeah. So my dad was like a functioning drunk. He would work his ass off. And so that's when
There's no such thing. I don't think that a lazy Korean is born. I don't think, like, they work so fucking hard. The most influential person in my life is Korean.
What's his name?
My Taekwondo teacher.
Yeah, well, that's not a real thing, but
yeah,
Taekwondo doesn't work.
Well, it does if you're
never
him.
Seen it. I've never seen UFC or Pride. He's a black belt in Taekwondo, yeah. And then me going, oh, he's going to win.
Yeah, but if you take some of his students and you put them in a stand-up fight, good luck. He was kind of a genius.
Okay, good.
But that's a whole other story. The point is, you need more than just Taekwondo. You need more than just Taekwondo in UFC, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I fought in UFC. I'm not telling you now.
Say it again.
I'm not, because you'll make fun of it. And I'm afraid.
No, what's his name?
I'm afraid of him.
No, I'm going to Google him. What's the name?
I won't let you.
All right.
He's not on Google. He's secret.
It'd be funny if
I was lying about that one. And it's not on Google. That's when you know somebody's lying. He's not on Google.
Yeah.
But he really isn't on Google, I don't think. That's a whole other subject.
But my dad had a bunch of strokes in the last couple of years, so I've been going out there to Phoenix.
Have you ever thought that maybe if you were more successful, he wouldn't have had any strokes? No, I'm just asking. I don't know if that's an appropriate question.
He's 75, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
If those pilots had gone, do you think
maybe? Yeah, maybe.
No.
You fucking suck.
But you love him and you kind of reconciled.
Oh, I love him, dude, to death. And I, you know, I've been sending the money for the last decade, you know?
Really?
Yeah. So it's like.
So he lost his money.
They did. The stores went bankrupt, and he ended up having like one store in Phoenix, and then I made them close that thing, man. It was like eating up money.
You grew up in Phoenix?
No, San Diego. I grew up my whole life in San Diego generally.
Yeah.
Like elementary school, middle school. When I was a kid, I lived in Minnesota, but mostly in San Diego. I was born in San Diego.
I'm going to say this about you.
Yeah.
There's no bullshit. I actually think that you're one of the funniest comics I've ever seen in my life. I'm not kidding. What you do to rooms, and I think you don't write that much, though.
I don't.
Yeah, I'm mad at you for that, and we're going to talk about that because you're prodigiously talented.
Yeah.
And you should be on your third, fourth hour.
Yeah.
And I'm pissed that you're not because you're that good. And I mean, everything you do, like that I've seen, is as hard hitting and as funny as it gets.
Mm-hmm. And God bless you.
It is. You're ridiculously funny. I mean, it's kind of what you were put on this.
I'm writing
to do.
More this year than I've ever have,
That's
and
good.
I've been trying a bunch of shit.
Okay.
Last night I tried a bunch of shit, so I'm trying.
What do you think stopped you? Just self-loathing.
No, what it is that I don't like. You know, for me. When I go on the road and I have my 45-minute set, it's like, you know, people pay money to see me because I don't comp.
Yeah.
Right? So they're all fans and I want to destroy. You know what I mean?
I know,
so,
but you can – the thing is that so I'm telling you, you could destroy fucking with 4 hours of material.
Mm-hmm.
You could. You're that good.
Thank you. And I always have found that you're very intrinsically funny, one of the best, too.
But so. I am, and I won best comic by from the International Comedy Federation. And they are the most prestigious, yeah, but who cares?
No,
who cares?
Comes
with $1 million prize, but I'm not, I gave it all to charity because I don't need the money.
I know you don't,
fortune.
Man. I know.
And I come from family money. But here's, and this podcast makes me crazy.
Because
money.
Here's what happened, though. It's like, in the 8 years I did Mad TV, I didn't do stand-up that much.
I didn't either, dude.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You know, for 8 years, I remember Joe Rogan making fun of me because I was 33, saying I'm going to get back in stand-up. He goes, you're going to start doing stand-up now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, now
he's... And I was forced to do it when Hollywood shut their doors.
That's right.
Right?
Because you couldn't make money.
Yeah, I couldn't make money, yeah. Right? And I had mortgages. I have two houses, you know what I mean? I paid for my parents' house and mine.
Wow. Yeah.
And I had no money coming in.
Yeah.
And my Mad TV money was being depleted. And I'm like, what the fuck do I do? So then, so basically, essentially, I've only been doing stand-up for 6 years, in my opinion. Right? So it's like I was forced to do it. And now in the last couple of years, I feel like I'm a legitimate headliner. And I feel, but it's like if I would have done it those 8 years, you know, there's so many different things, you know what I mean? But I
Well, I do that all the time. You ever do that game where you just kind of wish you could do things differently?
Oh, my God. I made so many mistakes.
What were the mistakes, though?
I have so many mistakes that I can't even imagine what
But I think we all feel that way.
No, I've made legitimate mistakes.
Give me them.
One of them was, a big mistake was for Knocked Up. You know what I mean? I waited in the parking lot because I didn't work on it. And I was I was sitting there and I didn't go in for that. You know what I mean?
That was the Ken Jeong.
Yeah, Ken got that. You know what I mean? And then, like things like that, you know what I mean? Where I just didn't go in because of fear or because I wasn't prepared.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I've done a lot of that stuff. I've done things where.
I have too.
You have?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Where you go in, I've had auditions that have been atrocious because of not being prepared.
I know all about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, one time I did this one, I'm going to tell you who it is, but. I walked in, and it was one of those things of where I just put it in a good audition, I would have got it. Big movie. And they told me that it was just the director and the casting director. So I show up. I'm sitting in the lobby. I'm the only one there. It's for a big movie. And I look around. There's no one else there. I'm like, this is weird. And then the lady offered me water. I'm like, when did they ever offer you water?
Yeah.
Right? So, and as I walked in, there was like 25 people in there. Right? And I was so ill. I wasn't prepared. And then I just had this panic attack.
Yeah.
Right? So basically, this is what happened. I had the first line. So the casting director goes, are you ready? And I go, uh-huh. And this is how long it takes me for me to say anything. So this is, I'm going to just do the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby, are you ready? Yes, I am. And she goes, okay, go. Bye. And I left the room. I said bye effeminately, and I left the room. I got in my car, and my agents at CAA called me. I was repped by big guys at that time. And they go, we can't, this is not, we're not, this, they, so they demoted, not demoted me, but they kind of
gave you to their
other younger agents, you know what I mean? Because I just dropped the ball. Like, I got in so much trouble. You know what I mean? And it's such a fuck up on the most epic level. You know.
I know. That's that paralysis that kicks in, that weird. Like sometimes I find myself with these really big auditions, I can't work on them. I talked to Dub about that.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I do now, I'm a big believer in like, because I hate it. Like in truth, I'm a lazy piece of shit
me
at
too.
The end of the day.
Yeah, me too.
I only work out because I'm insecure. Everything I do is because I just want to be somebody I'm not, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So thank God I have that. Yeah. You know? But like I'll have this audition and I'll be like, oh, and I go, oh man. I got to go in there and really compete. And by the way, I've got to now like sit in a trailer in somewhere and work.
Yeah,
you have to wake up really early when you do a movie.
Yeah.
I'm so lazy.
But, yeah, me too.
Like, I love stand-up because it's 2 hours and then I can accept compliments and write my own stuff and do all. And so what I do now is I literally have to make an appointment with somebody I'm paying to help me work on it. Like I have to spend at least $100 with a coach.
That's what I do.
Because otherwise I won't do it.
I won't do it either.
I'll run it three times and go, here goes nothing.
It's such an unnatural thing, too, because you're in a lobby filled with, like, for me, you're lucky because you probably get, like, white guy or whatever, right?
Yeah,
auditions, right? I don't get that. I get other.
Yeah.
Right. So they go, we just want to see. Right. So I'm in a lobby with like a 300-pound Samoan, a 9-foot Nigerian,
oh my God,
and a 3-foot like dwarf.
Yeah.
Albino dwarf.
That sounds like my entourage.
Yeah, that is your entourage. Yeah. And because this is like, we don't know what. You know what I mean? So basically, I'm a freak.
Yeah.
Right. And I sit there and I look around and these are people that I just got off the boat, or I don't know who they are. And I just know all the things I've done in my career. And I just get psychologically fucked where I get angry, where I sit there and I go, how the fuck am I in here with these people?
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm better than anybody or whatnot, you know, but it's like.
But isn't it like being in Kansas at a Best Western in the middle of a snowstorm?
Yeah, I've done that
where
too.
Where your show is canceled and you're like 40 and you're like, fuck is going on with me?
Yeah.
How the fuck did this happen?
Yeah, like last year I had the best time. I had the best career.
Yeah.
Last year I had booked The Dictator a year and a half ago, Dictator, Harold and Kumar 3, and Animal Practice, the NBC show. I booked all that shit in 1 month.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm back. Mm-hmm. In my head, I'm like, I am fucking back.
Yeah.
Those three things came and left, right? And then nothing for a year.
But you know what, man? I'm telling you, think about this for a second. Every actor goes through this, including really successful ones. I mean, when was the last time? I don't know. Let's go with Matthew Modine, Adrian Brody, Richard Dreyfuss. I can go down a list of people who take long stretches involuntarily. I don't know exactly what's going on with those guys, but if you want to start going through lists of actors who used to be on top and now are auditioning with me.
Yeah.
Man, oh man. You want to go through the 80s? Let's go through every actor you can think of.
Let's go
through every actor you can think of. That whole Brad pack. You want to go through it?
Yeah.
It never ends.
Yeah.
How about most of the Friends actors?
Yeah.
It's just the way this business is. You know, my friend's a big director, and she said, you know, I don't understand how women do it. You say, if somebody wants to be an actress and she's a young girl, I'm going to say, good. If you enjoy being humiliated, if you enjoy being at the top of the world 1 year and then being humiliated for 10 years because nobody wants you because you've got a dent here or a wrinkle here or whatever it is, then do it. But it really is weird.
I'm glad you said that.
There's no second place.
I was going to kill myself tonight.
Oh
yeah. I'm so glad you just saved my life.
That's what this podcast is.
You just saved my life.
The anti-suicide podcast.
Yeah. But, you're absolutely correct. You know what? You're right. And you know what? We're lucky because I get to do – I'm in Irvine this weekend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm going to do okay, and I'm booked for the next year as a stand-up. And so I'm very blessed.
Yeah. And can I have – if you do – I don't want you to commit suicide, but can I have your side?
If I do kill?
Yeah.
How about this? I'll make a little will saying that if I kill myself, then Brian gets all my dates.
Isn't it weird that how when somebody dies, like my dear friend Sam Brown – died of pancreatic cancer. He was so funny.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I wrote a letter to him. I go, dude, you're on his deathbed. I go, you're dying. Maybe I could have your material. And I do some of his jokes now.
Yeah.
Like just as an homage to him. Like
do you say it on stage or no?
I do.
Oh,
I'm going to do it on my special. I'm going to steal some jokes to his sons so I can say to his sons, see that joke right there? That's your dad's.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And I'll always do that. But he was brilliant. I mean, he had crazy good, amazing stuff.
Amazing, yeah.
And
there's a lot of guys like that died.
Yeah.
Freddie Soto?
Yeah.
The best.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't
Mitch
know
Mulaney?
Yeah, he was a great
hilarious
guy. He died of diabetes or something? What the fuck happened?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's stuff in the air.
Other stuff, okay.
There's a lot of guys.
I like that guy.
Yeah,
Mitch was a great guy.
He was so funny.
Yeah.
Freddie Soto was the best comic in the country, I thought.
Really?
Yeah, he was so good.
How did Freddie die?
He just died in his sleep.
Oh. Mm-hmm. You sound like you killed him. Like you just went, he just.
No, because Freddie and I had differences. Mm. And we didn't like each other. And then, a couple months before he died, we did the Maui Film Festival. We co-headlined. It had been like years since we talked. And he was there with his, beautiful wife and his daughter and stuff. I was with my brother. And we had some talks and stuff. So it was just like, I don't know, man, history and things, It's it's like, I don't know. You don't want me to cry. You don't want me to cry. I'm not going to cry.
You're a much better. I wish that you were as big a fan of you as I am of you and other people are.
Oh, God.
You're
bless
a great
you. Take
person.
Care.
You're
I'll see you later, okay?
Funny. Yeah, I'm not going to air this podcast
because
you've embarrassed
good
me. But
yeah.
But I just wanted to say farewell to you.
Let me see. If I died, would you come to my wake?
Yeah.
No, be real though.
Well, you're not Irish, so it wouldn't be a wake.
Oh, whatever. If they had a memorial at the comedy store in the main room, would you show up?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this then.
Yeah.
What if it was on a Saturday and you had a road date?
I can't do that. I can't let my people wait for me.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
dude, if it was on a Tuesday and I was in Hollywood anyway, I swear I would come by.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, how about this? It's on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And you had an audition, a big audition with Spielberg. But it was like you had to go either one of them.
I would come. You know why?
Why?
Because I wouldn't. Because for me to stay home would mean I would just be staying home and worrying about the audition. And your death would really give me fuel for my audition. Because I'd walk in and I'd go.
What?
Bye. And I'd walk out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'd look up at you and I'd point to the sky. I go, that was for you, Bobby.
That was for you, Bobby. Yeah,
and then I'd turn around and go, sorry, guys. Just kidding.
Yeah.
No.
Let me ask you this. Would you? Because we're not besties, you know what I mean? So would you shed a tear or no?
Yeah. I wouldn't cry over you. I would be really bummed, though.
Okay, good. Ask me about you.
Bobby,
if you had to wake on a Saturday and I had to do, like, the Comedy Works or, like, a club date, I would cancel that.
You would?
So go fuck yourself.
Jesus, yeah, Bobby.
I would cancel that, number one. Number two, I would definitely 100% cry at your
funeral. Really?
Yeah. Number two. And number three, right? Yeah. It would alter my life in a very bad way. So go fuck yourself.
But wait, hold on.
Brian Colon.
But that's also because I'm number one. And also because, you know.
What is number one?
But also,
what does that even mean?
If I died, you know, not to be a dick, but I believe there would probably be a lunar eclipse. Because I'm God's favorite.
I know you.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think the world would cry.
I know the world would cry. Yeah, you definitely feel an emptiness.
The truth is, and the humbling thing about life is if I died, if you died, the world goes right the fuck on.
It does. No one gives a fuck.
Your mom gives a fuck and some friends, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it people go, even close friends, people you know, go, fuck, what the fuck, man? Jesus Christ, that's so sad. How? Really? Fuck, man. Oh, that's such a bummer. Can you pass the salt? and then they keep talking.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, that's, and part of what drives me, I swear to God, in my life, and what keeps me awake at night at 47 is, I haven't really made a big impact.
Yeah, you have.
And I thought I was going to.
You have.
Okay. I haven't.
My thing is this is that if, like, how long will my name stay up at the Laugh Factory billboard?
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? You know how they, whenever somebody dies, it says, God, make God laugh?
Yeah.
First of all, mine would say, make God raff. Right?
Make
and
God raff.
And it'll probably stay up there for like 3 days, I think.
Longer.
You think so? A week?
Any longer than a week, and I would protest because
I
need space.
I know you need the space.
I love Jamie Masada, and I haven't talked to him.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to call him, actually. But,
I would just want to see how long and then who would come. If my spirit, this is what I'm going to do. If I die and God said, or whatever, said, you can stay and just hang out, your ghost, to see your funeral, I'm going to do that.
That's a good idea.
Because I'm going to take notes. Who's going to be there? Who's not?
What do you want on your tombstone? Seriously.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't give a fuck about that.
What about? Do you ever think about the fact that you're part of a very small fraternity, sorority, a small group of people that can do this, what we do, stand up? I mean, it's pretty rare.
What do you mean? Well, I know so many people do it. I don't even know.
Yeah, but not on your level.
Yeah.
On your level? You know so many people who can headline.
I can name you 100 dudes right now that can headline. Just off the top of my head.
You're out of your mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, 100.
Yeah.
100 really good comics.
Yeah.
That's it.
I can name you 4,000, 5,000 that can do stand-up.
Do you have a scroll?
No, but in my head, I've analyzed it, you know?
I think it's very rare to be able to do an hour anywhere, anytime, and make strangers laugh hard. And I think there are probably at the most 50 who can do that.
To me, stand-up isn't a talent. I know that's a weird thing to say, but to me, it's about trial and error.
That's a good point.
Right? So it's like,
bag of tricks.
I feel like I can take somebody who works at like Boeing or Enterprise Rental or Home Depot or whoever it might be, who makes everyone laugh at work, and sit down and put them in a boot camp and get them to be funny.
Who makes you laugh that's working today? Give me your five favorite comics.
It's really hard to. It's really
oh, you don't
hard
like
to say.
That question.
No, it's just hard to say because it's like it, at every given moment, someone could make me laugh. Like
a better question is this: do you have any heroes?
No, I don't. You know
you don't
why?
Have
I don't.
Any
no, I don't. Because there's a lot of hero worship in comedy, and it's like there are people that get love that don't deserve it, and there are people that don't get love that deserve it. There's a lot of comics that like should be at a different level.
I agree.
You know what I mean? And because of circumstances or because they don't look good on camera or they don't make little girls' pussies moist, you know what I mean? That don't get, you know what I mean, what they deserve.
Little girls' pussies moist. I mean, you know,
yeah.
This is that's an outrageous.
That's on my tombstone.
Make little girls' pussies yeah. moist. Women.
Yeah. But I just, so I don't, that, I mean, I, even people go, Bill Burr. Yeah, I love Bill.
Yeah,
Bill. He's hilarious. I watch him every time, you know?
Yeah, he's fantastic, yeah.
But then there's a guy named, you know, there's an older guy named Carl LeBeau. You know Carl?
I don't.
Carl LeBeau was the guy that held Sam Kinison's body when he died on that freeway. Mm. Carl LeBeau was one of his best friends. Mm. And Carl is 60. He's one of the best physical comics I've ever seen.
Wow.
And he never got anything. Like, he should be. I remember one time, Carl, when he was living in L.A., I set up a showcase with him, with Gersh at the time. I brought everyone from Gersh out. I begged people, okay? Carl destroyed. We got him in the main room. He destroyed. And my agent turned to me and go, he's too old. And so it's like, you know.
That's this business, man.
I know. So it's like that good dude is so funny, in my opinion.
He's too old.
He's too old.
That's going to happen to us, you know.
I know.
I mean, isn't it?
No, I don't think so.
Unless we keep up with our social media.
Because I think that if you listen, I bought a ticket to see The Warrior, the movie that you were in, and yeah. I remember being there with my brother and a couple of people going, wow, Brian's really good in that movie. So, and there's a lot, you've already done, you were on Mad TV when it, like, you're the yeah. original cast member. Like, you've yeah. done so many things. You've been in big comedy movies, so it's like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I think that you can act. You know how to act. You're a good actor. And I think a lot of comics don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
You know what it is? You know what acting is? Is being able to take a bunch of pressure.
Yeah.
Like when I, okay, let me.
So true.
When I was in The Dictator, right? I remember flying in on a Monday morning, okay? They pick me up straight from the airport. They drive me to the set. Mm. I don't know the lines because they keep changing the script. I go to the trailer, right? I'm sitting there. It's 5-6 in the morning with God. Ben Kingsley, Anna Faris, Sacha Baron Cohen, and there's one more, Ed Norton, and they're all sitting there
Jesus.
In the makeup. I'm at the end.
Jesus.
No one says good morning. They're just straight, you know what I mean, because they're so tired. And they're putting makeup on my face, and I'm going, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. Like like fear.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? What am I doing here? Right.
How'd that movie do?
Not good. But then they raced me to the set, right? And they gave me some sides. I'm memorizing the lines. And, like, I'm doing my first scene with Ed Norton, right? And, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Larry comes out. You're going to hit your mark here. You come out of here, this and that.
Who is directing?
Larry Charles.
Okay.
And you're thinking to yourself, you gotta make this happen.
He's a cool guy, Larry.
I love him.
Yeah.
I love him.
I auditioned for him recently.
But it's like that. You have to be able to handle that.
Yeah.
That's why acting is hard, is because of the pressure, I think. And
I
a lot
agree,
of comics can't do that. A lot of comics, you know.
Well, because also they can't do that because they haven't studied the craft of acting. It's very different.
It's very different.
It's very different than when it's one thing to come with a character and to know your lines and to make an unconventional choice and to react off of somebody in front of you who's giving you their thing, especially when they're a legend like, you know, Ben Kingsley.
Yeah,
my
yeah,
God.
Yeah.
You know?
But you know what's funny, though, when I was in that, I mean, I didn't have a lot of, I had two scenes or whatever, but the thing is that one night, two nights in a row, we had like all these all-night shoots. And, you know, I would watch him. I would literally sit like in back of like Video Village,
yeah,
like where all the people are, and I'd
it's where
sit
the
back
that's where the monitors are for people that don't know.
And like, I would watch him work, and it was just a real, real like, because you know I'm used to open micers in the Comedy Store,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like this is like in my head, I'm like this is like
Ben
this
Kingsley,
is never going to happen again.
Ben,
you know,
Ben Kingsley is as good an actor as anybody.
And he's
that's
amazing,
ever lived.
And the nicest guy. And I talked to him one night. He sat next to me on a couch, and we talked an hour about Gandhi. Like, it was amazing, dude.
I love him. I had dinner right next to him, and these kids were there, and they were recognizing me from Mad TV. They were, like, looking at me like I was Elvis.
Yeah.
And they didn't know who he was. And I was looking at him like he was Elvis. Yeah. I was just like, you know.
It's crazy.
It was a surreal thing, but...
Anyway.
And he was looking at my girlfriend like he wanted her so badly, and I would have given her to him if it was a different time and era and you could do that. But and I think she was attracted to him, by the way. But I was like so impressed with him. I was like, you know what? Out of respect, I'd be like, honey, go take care of the man.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's he wouldn't accept it, I don't think. But
well, I'd videotape it and then
I know, but the thing is, that's disgusting. So.
What, too much?
Not a little too much.
He has big hands.
He does have a very big hand. Well, are we going to make it, dude, or what?
I just got word that I am going to be in American Hustle 2. So
that's amazing.
Thanks, buddy.
They wrote the script already.
They wrote it.
Yeah.
It's in progress.
Yeah.
But I'm going to play the American.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it.
I'm in the new...
I'm not going to be a movie star. And that's a fact.
That's
I got a better chance of being a senator at this point.
That's not true.
You know what, dude? It's
I was at a Walmart once, and I was looking at one of the bins, and I saw that little parody movie you did. there was like eight of them in there.
I don't want to talk about it.
No, let's talk about the parody movie.
Eight? You mean there were still some for sale?
No, they were in like a bin, like with like the other movies, like
with
Goonies
cassette,
9, like Goonies 9, and
and car jumper cables and
Cable Guy 5.
Get everything you don't need right here.
No, but what was that movie?
I
already gave you compliments about Warrior and all the other things. So
I
can we just talk
to
about
the
this
director,
movie?
Who's a great guy.
Yeah,
it was called. It was some parody on Sarah Marshall and all those 40-year-old version.
Should I rent
it? 41-year-old version who knocked up Sarah Marshall and felt super bad about it. So it was a mix of all those.
Yeah.
And
what was the deal like though? What would make you do that?
Complete boredom. I had nothing else to do. I think they paid me $4,000 or something. I didn't even know if they paid me that much.
Yeah.
And for like 2 weeks work, 3 weeks work, and I had nothing else going on. And it was right after The Hangover, and I did it. Because I just didn't have a thing to do that summer.
I did Kicking It Old School, same thing. I did a Jamie Kennedy movie with breakdancing, and I did it because there was nothing going on.
I don't do that anymore. I don't do that stuff anymore. I say no to most things.
Good, me too.
But what about Jamie Kennedy? Where has he been?
He's just doing his thing, you know?
He always creates stuff.
I love him. He really is. He's like... He's got such a great work ethic. He really does.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he doesn't let anyone bring him down, and he just kind of plugs forward.
I don't know him, but I've always admired that about him.
Yeah, I love him. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's unique, you know, because he could let it bring him down.
Yeah.
You know, but he just, you know, it's like one of those things is like he's a warrior, in my opinion. Paulie, too. Paulie, like, is one of those guys that, like, just won't die. He just keeps going and going. And you got to, you know, you have to look at people like that and go, you know what? I want to do that, too.
Yeah,
I want to just keep going. What? There's no other choice.
Well, I'm going. That's how I feel. Though I'm a lifer. I'm never gonna. What am I gonna do? Yeah. Not do stand up?
I know.
What are you talking about?
I know.
You know.
But imagine this. What if we were like not even invited to the clubs and we had to do open mics again?
Listen, dude.
Would that be fucking awful, right?
That's not gonna happen.
I know, but I've thought about that.
I'll get my SAG pension and I'll just never do it again. That'd be dangerous for me because I have a love-hate relationship with everything, all things acting and stand-up.
Yeah.
Like, if you gave me $20 million, I might do nothing but swill wine, drink very good espresso, and become a peculiar old man.
No.
No?
You would kill yourself.
I would, right?
Yeah, you'd be in, like, Montana on a ranch, right, and go, like, you would just think about it too much.
I know, but I want to wear tweed jackets, and I want to, hey.
Sorry.
What is that, a seal? I want to... I'm talking about my dream, and you just burped in the middle of my dream, man. I want to live in Montana. No, what am I saying, Montana? I want to live in some, like on the outskirts of San Francisco. I want to wear tweed jackets. I want to read hard-covered books with a German shepherd, a bite train shepherd.
Yeah.
And
you know what we should do?
What?
We go to Austin, Texas.
Yes.
A cool city, right?
Yes.
And we start a comedy academy.
Dude,
Let's just that's listen. Don't scream.
I know,
scream.
But that's actually an amazing idea.
All right, so it's like, because I think with both of us.
I'd do it in a heartbeat with
Sasso
you.
Sasso and maybe a couple of other people.
Sasso's the guy, because you know why? He's so disciplined. He's really good with business.
Yeah.
Sasso,
so we have our own comedy academy, a theater and stuff, right? And then we can still do, we'll do stand up there too.
Yeah.
It's a theater too, right? And so that way we can do shows, right? right?
God.
Yeah. And then yes. we can like, so if that, if Hollywood ever writes us letters going, leave.
Yeah.
Then we'll just go to Austin.
I would love to do that. Yeah, I can't believe you're saying that. I've had a fantasy of actually eventually teaching drama in some private prep school or something. I don't know.
Like, yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
such a cushy life.
Also, it's like, God, one time I was-
That's a better idea, man.
Yeah.
A comedy academy we open up and we just, we perform with really smart, funny young people.
Yeah. I was in San Antonio once and there was a improv group that had a theater. And I remember, this is a, like, at, it's my sixth year of Mad TV. And I remember walking in just out of the street. I go, it's an improv theater. I kind of walked in just to look at the photos and stuff. And there was teaching a class and I sat in the theater. And then there was like 20 students, right? And they all turned around and they all recognized me, right? And they were like, what the fuck is he doing?
That's
you
cool.
know what I mean? I always loved that kind of power.
Yeah.
So let's do that. Let's go to a city.
And I'd be mean as shit to the kids.
And they'd have to call us sir. Sir Bobby.
Yeah. Master.
Master, yeah.
You know what? That's an amazing idea because I have a better idea to make money too. Then what we do is our improv shows, we shoot them and blast them over the internet so they get people get to tune in and watch.
That's right.
Our brilliance.
Yeah. And I think we know enough people if there's two or three students that are very talented,
yeah.
we can set them up.
Yeah.
Because we know managers and everything, you know yeah. what I mean? We have the connections to
I agree.
Do so. Yeah.
But you get them famous anyway. You get them like Vine famous. You get them famous off the improv.
And we sign them to like 20-year contract that whatever they do in their career, they have to give us 5%.
No, more. 90%. I'm not, you're trying to find, you find I'm a really bad businessman. 95%, dude. That's what we do.
But if we sign them to 10-year, like 10% contract for the rest of their life, they would sign it.
Yeah, but then we become assholes. I don't want to be that
no,
guy.
No, we're not assholes. No, because the thing is this, is if they make millions of dollars, what is 10%? They were going to work at fucking Home Depot their whole lives.
I know.
Well, now Home Depot's a great company. Like,
you know what, though? Those kind of contracts make me squirm. I wouldn't do that to somebody.
Do you
I don't want to own them. What? I only want to own... I would take, like... If we were making money, we would get the door, and then they would perform for free, because that's the way it is.
We need a percentage, dude. I will not do it without a percentage.
Dude, we're already having our first business argument.
No, we're not having an argument. It's just, the thing is that what if we have a fucking diamond in the rough, right? And a guy that's like super...
Because you can't take 10% from
5%,
somebody...
5%, I said
5%. You
then.
Can't take 5% from somebody who's for doing 5 years, movies then. That you have nothing to do with.
Let me tell you this, fucker.
Hey, man.
Fucker? Listen to me.
Yeah.
Right now, fuckfest.
Yeah.
Okay? When I just listen to this,
yeah.
When I got Mad TV, I didn't have an agent.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't have an agent.
Yeah.
So when I went to test, when I tested for it, my manager goes, "You know what? Gersh is doing the negotiations for your test deal." I go, "Oh," and I got the show. Gersh took 10% of 8 years of that money.
That's outrageous to me.
Okay.
That's outrageous.
They did one day of work.
Yeah.
The agent that did my deal doesn't even, he went to ICM after that.
That's gross.
Right?
That's gross.
So what I'm saying is that, and you know what? It's business and I get it. And I don't blame them. That's
I
business.
I just think you compromise your brand in some ways. If you're opening up a school like that, I mean, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I just think now you're having like young people sign things before things happen for them.
Sometimes. Well, no, we don't sign them in the beginning.
I'm not doing that. I want to do this.
How about
with you.
This then? Why don't we do this?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll co-share the institute,
yeah.
right? And I'll make a deal with you. I go, if by chance we have a kid that is going to make it, we think he's going to make it, we become their managers.
That's a good idea.
So if you set up showcases for the fucking kid,
yeah.
right? And you sit down and you have a game plan,
yeah.
we're going to call this commercial agency, this theatrical yeah. agent, this PA, we're going to make all
Bob,
this
now,
happen for
now you.
You
and I are managers, and that sucks. That sucks as a job. I don't want to do that, and neither do you. The
nah.
whole point is to be in Austin performing at an academy and just having a blast.
All right, you know what? We're done. We're not doing it.
Bobby.
We're not fucking doing it.
Why, dude? We're
no,
just trying to
No, because you don't
want to
make any fucking money.
Yes,
and
I
not
do.
Doing it. I'm leaving.
Yeah, no, don't go.
No, because it's like... It's
no,
like,
wait.
No,
don't end this podcast. Are you going to end this podcast like
no,
this?
No, but what I'm saying is this is that you're not a businessman.
I am.
Don't yell. You're not a businessman. You don't know what you're doing.
You don't know what you're doing. At least I'm ethical, and you want to steal from these people.
All right, I'll come back.
Thanks. Damn it, I was so close, you guys. We almost like...
I know, but it's like ridiculous.
We almost had to end it. What time
so
is
it's
it?
It's a freebie.
How long have we been doing this fucking podcast? It's 5:40. I got kids.
Yeah, what are we at? 49
minutes.
We do an hour.
Whoa.
Yeah, we
this
do.
This is my podcast.
No, we do an hour.
You can't just bully your way into
my...
We're
doing 11 more minutes.
About what?
About we're just going to do another 11 more minutes.
Where would you... Okay, here's what we're going to do the 11 minutes on.
Okay.
I'm giving you 20 million American dollars. What are you going to do with it? Don't say buy houses for my family. I can't stand that. Just tell me what you're going to do with it, where your life is going to be fulfilling and fun.
That depends on the circumstances. So it can just let me, is it 20 million? Don't flex your muscles. That's disgusting.
Well, I have a beautiful body.
I know you have a great body.
I boxed today.
I don't
suck.
Give
Keep
a
going.
Fuck.
Keep going.
I don't give a fuck at what you do.
Sorry.
Okay.
Keep going.
So, because you know I'm sober for almost 11 years.
Yeah.
So am I using or not?
Dude, you're not using.
No, in this $20 million scenario.
You're not using.
Okay, well then, there grows that. Because I was going to make a fucking house made out of Vicodin.
No.
I can't do that.
You can't do that. you can't do
I have to fart. Can I fart?
Yes, yeah. But in the mic.
Hold on.
I'm sorry. Hold on. That sounded like somebody hammered a nail into a piece of wood.
I know.
What do you have? What was that? That was like a...
It was like a little ID.
It was like a
little bomb on Baghdad.
That was so crazy.
I know. Do you smell it, though?
No.
You will. Watch.
Ew!
Do you smell it?
Hey, man. Don't.
Hey, you. Hey.
Don't.
Hey, you.
I can get hepatitis like that.
No, you can't.
Air hepatitis.
You can get SARS.
Hep 6.
I have bird flip, too.
Ew, gross.
Anyway, sorry, do you smell it?
So you would you so you're not using, so you can't build a house of Vicodin.
Okay, so what I'm gonna
it's
do with the 20
thing
million
I've ever heard,
is
by the way.
What?
It's the funniest thing I've ever
okay,
heard.
Okay, so $20 million. Tax free?
Yeah.
All right, so they're just gonna give me $20 million
yeah.
in a briefcase.
Yep.
Well, I mean, you want funny way things?
You're not
or
allowed
not?
To give it away either.
I can't give it away.
No.
$20 million is easy. I can't buy a house.
Nope.
I cannot buy a house. What I would do is can I buy companies?
Yeah.
Okay, I would buy probably a raw denim company.
Why? Why? So you could lose money? Who the fuck is going to buy your raw denim? You don't know shit about raw denim. Sorry.
First of all, can I just say this?
I just came down on you.
I don't want to say this, okay?
Yeah.
The difference between you and I is raw denim.
What?
Yeah. And I'm going to talk to you. I don't want your viewers to think that I'm an asshole, so I'll talk to you on the side about it.
Why? Because you don't like the way I dress.
No, that's not what it is. I don't like your jeans.
Dude,
I really don't like your jeans. Those are Gaps or something. What
no, they're what? John Varvatos.
Yeah, I can't do it.
What do you mean? These are like $200 jeans, me, easy.
No, I can't do it.
You didn't even look at them. You literally
no,
glanced.
No, I looked at them outside. I looked at them outside. Do you, first of all, can I ask you this?
Yeah.
Do you wash them?
Yeah.
You don't wash jeans.
You're being super condescending.
No. Everyone knows that.
Well, don't laugh at me and point your...
No, this is what I want
He's
you
putting
face.
His palms
okay,
toward
we'll
me.
Leave now because I can't do a podcast with somebody that doesn't do raw denim, but my point is this, right? You need Japanese salvage denim.
It's expensive, huh?
Yeah. So what I'm saying is this, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to leave now because you don't do it. So here's what it is. So we won't do the another 11 minutes.
No, please.
No. You're so funny. You're naturally gifted.
I know.
So here's what it is, okay? Here's the deal.
What's going on with my arms?
No, it's so gross that you
it's
do that.
It's from training. It's from training.
Well, I know you have a gym at your house.
Yeah.
Okay.
I train hard.
No, I know you have a gym.
When I before I work out, I go like this. I go. I look in the mirror and I go, let's go, kid. Time to hit it hard. And then I go hit it hard. And then when I'm done, I look at myself and I go, still got it. You still got it. And I salute.
You salute. How do you salute?
I just go, bam. It's an American World War II salute.
I salute too when I work out.
Well, you
want to see mine?
Yeah.
I do this.
Okay, dude, that's a Zeke Heil. That's
I know,
what the
but
Nazis
I still do
did.
That. I know, but that's what I do.
Yeah, but that's very offensive.
I'm not in the military.
It's even offensive to people of your ethnic persuasion.
No, because the Japanese, right, were in like cahoots with the Germans.
Yeah.
But I know Thank I'm you. Korean.
I know,
you get what I'm saying.
No, I don't, actually. That's a racist. That's a terrible thing to do.
Can I tell you something fucked up?
Yeah.
Because what I found, I saw a documentary about like Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
Yeah.
And so did you know that Japan occupied Korea for 50
yes,
years,
I do.
Tortured the people?
Yes, I do.
But you know what they would do? They stole our rice.
You don't want to be occupied by the Japanese or the Germans.
No,
those
you
are
don't.
Two cultures that are not, but, they've not been very friendly.
But they stole all our rice. You don't steal Asian people's rice.
I know.
All right?
I know.
Okay, it's like stealing black
people. They also make Koreans learn and speak Japanese.
But if it's Asians stealing
other Asians' rice,
is that like two minuses canceling?
No, it's not like that. No, because someone starves still in that scenario.
Someone starves.
So check this out. So they stole the Koreans' rice, right?
Yeah.
So what did Koreans do? If someone stole your rice, what would you do?
I'd eat bread. Sorry.
No, but if there was no bread.
If someone stole my rice?
Yeah. This is what the Koreans did.
Yeah.
They went to Japan to live there.
Yeah.
So they went, you know what? You steal the rice? Well, we're going to follow the rice. Follow the rice.
Not only that, can I give you more history on that?
Yeah.
Most of the Yakuza were ethnically Korean. Because when they went to Japan, they couldn't find jobs, so they started their own underground. So if you actually look at a lot of the Yakuza, a lot of them are Korean.
Really? It's interesting that you said that. So check this out. It has nothing to do with what I'm saying, though. Mm-hmm. So anyway, they followed them, and a lot of Koreans were in Nagasaki and Hiroshima when the bombs went off.
Really?
Yeah. So imagine, chasing the rice because you're so hungry in your family.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there in, Nagasaki going, oh, we get to eat. What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
In the sky.
You know, 100,000 people vaporized.
Yeah, I know.
In a matter of seconds.
I don't want to get graphic.
Thanks for bringing in nuclear annihilation. The fascist Nazi salute.
Yeah. I just want to close strong.
It's not how I want to end my podcast.
I want to close strong.
It's important to study World War II, by the way.
Why?
Because in many ways, what the Japanese and the Germans did was some of the worst crimes committed in the history, or at least written history.
Yeah.
And much of what Germany did, much of what Adolf Hitler did, changed the course of history and destroyed old Europe. The Japanese have not yet apologized, in my opinion, sufficiently to the Koreans or to the Chinese for what they did.
You know, another thing that people know is that Emperor Hirohito he still got to stay in his job.
Yeah, that's
afterwards,
right.
Which is
Hirohito was considered a deity. He was considered literally the guy who came from Amaterasu, who was the Shinto god, the guy who in the Shinto religion they considered the creator of the world, right? Mm-hmm. The sun god, I think. Forgive me for anybody who's a Japanese scholar. I may be wrong about that. But Hirohito was considered a deity.
Mm.
And when he told the country to surrender, the entire country, he got on the radio, they surrendered.
Yeah.
And part of the problem with Japanese culture back then, and for that matter, German culture, was that they were so fanatically devoted to authority. And so it didn't really allow for the individual to express himself. Mm-hmm. And when you have mob rule, or you have, I should say, rule by, you know, the oligarchy, the people, the generals, the descendants of the samurai, the Bushido way of living, that warlike way of living. That's what rules the day.
Yeah.
And when military people like that, who are small and few, make those decisions, they're gonna a lot of times come to violent. You know, that's why we have a civilian government that controls the military.
Yeah.
And that's part of the Constitution. Oh no.
My question is, how do you go from a country like Japan where you're like occupying other countries and stuff to drawing Pikachu?
Because we stripped them of their army.
Yeah.
And to this day they really basically are allowed to have self-defense forces but not a standing army.
So then they just decided to draw Pikachus?
Well, they realized there was no profit in expansion, and it's better to make money. See, we live in a world now where, like China and Japan, where there's no point in having a huge army. You're better off concentrating on your economy, and you can be rich.
I think we did it now. That was 11 minutes.
See, you lost. You completely lost.
No, I just wanted to do
my
brilliant. How many more minutes?
Two and a half more minutes.
All right.
So now I want to see you hold your breath until you die.
Do you think I can hold my breath for 2.5 minutes? I think I can.
No, not a shot.
Can I try?
Yeah.
Ready?
Yep.
All right. Let's see. 1,000. It's long seconds here. How are we doing, Rena?
20 seconds.
He's held for 20 seconds? He won't last a minute. Definitely won't last a minute. He's already panicking.
He's breathing out. He's exhaling. Oh, no,
I heard you breathing.
Just out. Okay.
What are we at?
1 minute.
Not bad. Not a shot. You'll last 30 seconds from now. Not a shot. That was a breathe in. He's cheating.
I swear to God.
What did I get?
What did I get?
Very impressive.
What did I get?
That was a minute and a half.
Say fuck you, man.
Man, we had another minute.
White man, you fuck.
Hey, man, what's this
you
white
fucking
guy?
White man, you.
No, I didn't. Man,
I know what you did to the American Indians.
I didn't do anything. I wasn't even here.
That, yeah.
You're the one who had to run in with the American Indians.
That shit, man.
You're the one who had to run in with the Native American.
Hey. All right, thank you so much for having me in Patton's Sunshine. Don't call me again, okay?
Bobby Lee, you were
this
fantastic.
Is the favor, okay?
Will you come back every day?
No.
The people can't wait.
I'll never see you again. So
where are you doing stand-up again?
Oh, I'm doing the Irvine Improv this weekend.
I don't know if this drops this weekend.
Okay, well then, just look at, you know, whatever. But follow me on Bobby Lee Live on Instagram, and follow me on Bobby Lee Live on Twitter.
Have you seen my Instagram?
It's fantastic.
Do you follow me?
No.
Brian Callen.
Let's do it now. Could you follow me?
Yeah.
Okay, what is yours under?
I can't believe I don't
Brian
follow
Colon.
You.
Let me see.
Callen, dude. BryanCallen.
Okay.
Apparently I'm hilarious.
How many followers do you have?
100,000, 200,000.
Okay, right, let's follow each other then. Thank you so much, Bry.
No, I'm serious, Bobby.
No, but I'll see you later, okay? That was great.
Bob.
Thank you so much.
Hold on. Where are you going?
Okay.
Hold on. All right, bye-bye, everybody. This is Brian Callen, Bobby Lee. We love you. Bobby, you ruined everything.
You've been listening to The Brian Callen Show with Brian Callen. Be sure to like him on Facebook. Just search for Brian Callen Comedy. And follow him on Twitter. Just search for @BrianCallen. You can also find him online by visiting his website. Just go to briancallen.com. Until next time, bye-bye.